Beacon Press Audio presents On Gold Hill, a personal history of wheat, farming, and family from Punjab to California by Jacqueline Moyer. This audiobook is narrated by Momo Hoshi. Published by Beacon Press Audio 2024. Prologue. A Saturday Farmer's Market. Midsummer. Morning. Woven baskets and canvas shopping bags. Nylon canopies flip-flapping in the breeze. The tang of overripe melons and a trace of chill in the air. I walk with my sister toward the bustle. We're on the shady side of the street, and goosebumps pimple my bare arms. But I know it won't last, this coolness. I've spent enough summers here in these parched Sierra foothills to be sure of that. By the end of the hour, the heat will shoulder in and everything will go sluggish, drawing back from the sun as best it can. Birds hunkering in the cover of oaks, rattlesnakes slipping under rocks, squash blossoms crumpling inward. Now, a steady breeze sharpens the chill, and I glance at the sunny side of the street where honeyed light pools across the asphalt, then step toward it. Back when I lived in this region of Northern California and spent my days farming vegetables not far from this town, I'd have stayed in the shade. I'd have let the chill sink deep into my skin, tried to store it there in my flesh, a reserve against the coming heat. In those days, too, I'd have been on the opposite side of the vendor tables, filling bins, counting change, smiles and thank yous and recipe suggestions. But it's been more than 3 years since I stopped farming. Today, I'm just a visitor here. I'm drifting through the market, enjoying a visitor's cheerful indifference, when I see the words Gold Hill inked on a banner above a table of vegetables. I know I've stopped moving because my sister nudges me, asks, "What?" When I don't answer, she follows my gaze. "Oh, they're here," she says. "The farmers who took over your old place." I shouldn't be so surprised. My sister had told me that the latest tenants, the third set of eager organic farmers to lease the land since my partner Ryan and I had left it, were from her town. "Come on," she says now. "I'll introduce you." The new farmers are as surprised to meet me as I am to meet them. Like Ryan and me when we arrived on Gold Hill, they're a young couple, thrilled for the chance to farm those 10 acres of loamy soil. They wear dusty jeans and work boots, hats sweat-stained at the brow. After our introductions, the man resumes stocking produce while the woman and I talk. She tells me of their plans and sentences that bump into each other, the crops they intend to grow, their commitment to creating a more socially just and ecologically resilient food system. Her enthusiasm is contagious, her aspirations familiar. Soon, I too am talking fast, eager to recall those particular 10 acres, the stretch of land I know better than any on earth. We discuss the intricacies of the irrigation system Ryan and I had designed, the stubborn patch of Bermuda grass by the parking lot. She tells me she's still getting acquainted with the microclimate of Gold Hill. "It's a banana belt," she says, and I nod, remembering the way the morning light poured over the fields, how it seemed to gather there in that small basin. I remember, too, that I'd planted sapling fruit trees on that land, trees I knew wouldn't bear much of a harvest for close to a decade. How I'd hung a swing from the mulberry near the farmhouse and imagined my future children spending long afternoons there. As we talk, I begin to feel a familiar unsettledness rising, some slumbering thing stirring inside me. I look away from the young woman, focused instead on her produce. A smudge of dirt interrupts the smooth shine of an eggplant, and I rub it away with my thumb. More jolts of memory. Sticky resin blacking my hands after a morning harvesting tomatoes. The hollow plunk of peppers tossed into a bucket. The scent of irrigation water on sun-warmed soil. "Where are you living now?" the young woman asks. It's just small talk, but I feel my throat tighten. I answer in a voice as breezy as I can muster. Tell her we live in Oregon, it's very green, lush. No, we're not farming anymore. Yes, we have a big garden. I go on about our garden. How nice it is to be able to take time with everything. Tend to each plant. Nothing like working with the kind of ruthless efficiency farming demands. I don't mention how much I miss stepping into the greenhouse on a winter morning. Those tables filled with thousands of seedlings. Slender needles of onions, frilled blue broccoli, meaty zucchini cotyledons. Or the fall squash harvest, loading truck bed after truck bed with globes of color. Or the way it had once felt to say those words, "I'm an organic farmer." I begin to look for a way out of this conversation, a way to move my body away from this stall before I smack into the question I imagine she'll ask next. What happened? What's so hard about that question anyway? We'd simply chosen to leave, to let it all go and move on. I'd typed up the letter terminating our lease, sent it in. And yet, there were those tired questions bubbling up again in my mind. What if we'd only stayed another year? What if I'd been a shrewder businesswoman, a harder worker, a better farmer? Would things have been different? Had I made a mistake? Was farming the good life and I'd given it up? Had I chickened out, gotten out, sold out, dropped out, failed out? A customer steps up, ready to pay for his bag heaped full of leafy greens. Beautiful produce, he tells the farmer. And it's true. Her display is stunning. All bright colors and broad leaves. She smiles at this compliment, and I watch as she adds up the total. Her hands are calloused and strong, dirt staining the creases of her fingers. Her stall buzzes with shoppers. She chats warmly, grins easily. Here, a hard-working organic farmer, diligent and prosperous, doing the good work, bettering the world while living out wholesome, worthwhile days. She plays the part well, I think. Maybe she is the part. I watch her and wonder, why wasn't I? I look down at the pepper in my hands and see it is trembling. So I put it back on the pile, tell myself, it doesn't matter. All that is in the past now. I'd done those years on the farm, nearly four, and lost nothing. Ryan and I had transformed a fallow field, dust and star thistle, into 10 verdant acres, a productive organic farm, and we'd left happily, ready for something new, unscathed. Another customer approaches the farmer. My hands have stopped shaking, and I'm feeling better. Fine. I'll wave goodbye, mouth good luck, and walk away. I turn to do just that, but the woman lifts a finger. Wait a minute, and motions for me to come over. She finishes the transaction, steps away from the register, and leans toward me across a heap of squash. I wanted to tell you, she says. We've had a pretty impressive stand of volunteer grain come up this spring. Volunteer grain? I repeat. Along the west edge of the farm, all the way to that back corner near the creek? When I don't respond, she adds, we think it might be wheat. The back of my neck goes hot. Oh. She waits for me to say more, then prods. Didn't you and Ryan grow wheat? There's that millstone still in the barn. We heard you were doing some kind of heirloom grain thing. I nod, ignore the heat spreading down my spine. I haven't talked about our wheat for a few years, have tried to put it out of mind since the day I poured the last handful of flour into a mixing bowl, then stared at the empty Ziploc bag dusted faintly yellow. That bag sat on my counter for days before I finally threw it out, the last trace of my wheat clinging to the plastic. We tried, I say, making a sound I hope comes out like a casual chuckle. It was just an experiment. It didn't really pan out in the end. Anyway, I add, that was years ago. Well, she says, we've asked around. As far as anyone knows, none of the other farmers grew grains. The west edge. That would be the...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?